Speaking of the room, we're here at the Heritage Golf and Country Club for the AFL Transition Camp today, and looking forward to every moment of it as well. I'm being joined by two special guests. Brad Fisher was a champ with the Blues, 99 games of the best. And if there was an award for Assistant Coach of the Year in the AFLW, he would get it.
I wondered why we got
he
Brad.
Would
That's
get
the
it.
Real reason, isn't
the
it?
Fish Lips from the Players Association, and Steve Shepherd from 2.0, who helped running the Transition Camp.
Steve got a link to the
camp.
AFLW Blues or not?
I'm not sure if Steve does, but we'll welcome the boys to the program. Good morning, boys.
Good morning.
Morning, Huff.
Great to have you with us. What's been happening? Firstly, Steve, for you, do you have a link to the Blues?
No, I don't. No, sorry, Daniel.
Right, no. That's positive.
We do work with the Blues, but that's...
Well, there we go.
There we are.
Well, there's a link. That's close enough.
I thought we'd get them mentioned.
That's close enough. So what your reason for being... 2.0 is a reason for supporting this... Steve, why do you get involved in this transition camp?
We've been working with them now for 3 years, and I guess it goes back... our business was originally founded to provide support to young people making the transition from education into trying to find a career. You know, the kids who, you know, got a degree and don't know what to do with it, or leaving high school and no real clue. And we started getting a few of the kids coming through from the under-18s who'd kind of put all of their effort into trying to make the big leagues and then hadn't quite made it and had no plan B. So, you know, started working with these young men and trying to help them figure out what to do next. And that kind of led us to some conversations with the PA. And I think it was pretty timely at the time we connected with Brad that, you know, they were really looking at this issue of transition and how important it is for players, and were putting together basically the blueprint for this camp. And through a number of conversations, we collaborated around, you know, how we can really kind of help the PA make an effective transition into careers using our career coaching experience.
Which I imagine would be very, very helpful and very well received by the players, because whilst there's formal training to a degree done through their careers and that, however long that lasts, this is an interesting phase, isn't it? And you would have experienced that and helped a lot of people through this.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, whether you know, whatever transition you're going from, when you're suddenly out of a job and you're trying to figure out what next, you've got lots of people who are offering you advice. Some of it's well-intended, some of it's, you know, might have some biases, particularly with players who might have clubs trying to attract them to come and play and offering all sorts of things. And so really kind of, you know, they're used to having the club tell them what to do, where to go, and all of a sudden they're there, they're cut, you know, and they're out on their own. So having somebody in their court who's kind of saying, let's just unpack all of this and figure out what's going to be the right move, so you make one transition rather than, you know, just jumping into something because it's there and quickly on offer. So really trying to help them figure out what's going to be, you know, a lasting career for them rather than just finding their next job as well.
What's your number one piece of advice? What's the starting point for these guys?
I would say start early in your career in the club. We see a lot of players who've, you know, had a lot of opportunities. You know, we know that most people, whatever their age is, they're going to find their role through their network, and the clubs provide this massive network, and yet a lot of the players don't take advantage of it. They kind of see as, I've got to go to the rooms, I've got to go talk to sponsors and supporters, but actually these guys are, you know, future hires, and they're probably not the ones who are going to give them the job, but they know somebody who knows somebody. Yeah. So my best advice would be to start early in your career before you're cut and put it in. But if you haven't done that, then, you know, just get some professional advice. You spend your whole year being coached by experts. This next transition should be no different, and hopefully that's where we play a role in bringing our career expertise of how you get a job, how you interview, how you write a resume, all of those kind of things that are important, how you use your network, and even kind of have that conversation to let people know what you're doing. So
Brad,
yeah.
You didn't do a great job of this, given you ended up working under Daniel Huff. Disaster.
Yeah, you got pretty desperate.
Not the first player to hit rock bottom and find another outlet. But we got the, so as a PA, as an industry, Fish, do we understand this transition a bit better now?
Yeah, I think we do. I think players highlighted that mental health and transition were probably the two main areas they wanted us to focus on.
Yep.
You know, I've been in this role for 6 years, and players are definitely transitioning in out of the game better and better every year, and that's to do with, you know, the support and the importance that clubs put on player development and individuals developing themselves while they're playing, so they can maximise your opportunity. And it's definitely on the way up, and you know, this camp's just a small part of that.
And the mindset of, like Steve was saying before, about doing this, organising yourself for post while you're actually living it, is that becoming a bit easier for players to comprehend now, and they're actually keen to do it rather than wait till the end and then go, oh, bloody hell, I've got to get rolling?
Yeah, I think so. There's still a bit of a mix there. I mean, we've got 800 players on the list, 800 male, and now 400 female players on list. So everybody comes from different backgrounds with different maturity levels, and you know, they're ready to sort of look at that piece at different times. And then others are, you know, trying to just hang on to a footy career with, you know, with both hands as much as they can and putting their eggs in that basket. And to an extent, we understand that. But so far, you know, every player becomes a past player. So the earlier that they can make the switch in their mind and sort of invest in themselves away from footy, you know, the better their transition is going to be.
Mm. It's an interesting time for players. Like, there's the players that when they finish and they just don't feel like they're ready to finish, and they think they've got more left in them, that there's that element of almost bitterness of, I don't want to move on yet because I don't think my time is ready. How difficult is that, having those conversations with those young men? When they just think it's not my time, when it is their time.
Yeah, it can be difficult. So we meet with players within 48 hours of retirement delist, you know, often players will harbour ambitions to get straight back into the game, and, you know, we'll say to them, we'll talk to you today as though you're not going to get back in the system, but if you do, you know, we're hoping you do, if that's what you want to do. But, yeah, it can be pretty hard. You know, we put a lot of programs in place, and often someone will say to me, oh, we need to get players in their last year of their contract. Well, when's the last year of your contract? The average age you come out of the game is 24. You're not thinking, you know, that's going to be the end of your footy career. So it's certainly, yeah, it's got its challenges in that respect.
I'm interested, half in you expanding a little bit more about the amateur system through the VAFA, where players, they finish their AFL career, they go and play amateur football, but part of that is that they get jobs. And sort of marry that up against the footballer that finishes playing and then goes and earns, you know, somewhere between 40 and 60 grand cash often playing local football, and how that can actually stunt the next phase of your life. Whereas the amateur football, it's quite a good setup.
Yeah, well, you make a choice, don't you? You work for 3 or 4 years, you play footy for 3 or 4 years after your career, or 5 years, however long it is, and you make 20, 30 grand out of that cash. But what happens after that? You're not actually investing in your future by doing that. And this is one of the things that, and even suburban competitions are understanding these days, that the cash is a nice thing for the players to have, perhaps for the weekend, but if they don't have a career to look forward to, they'll move around anyway. You won't keep them for long anyway. Yeah. So if you can invest in them and get them opportunities through career prospects, they are the ones that will stick around. The amateurs have been doing that forever, Scotty.
Uni Blacks. It's a network still.
You got a job at Herald Sun on the back of your brilliance at Uni Blacks.
Oh, I won a premiership. Brad.
Just on that probably played a role in why we put this camp together is we certainly understand and appreciate the role that clubs can play, local clubs can play in a player's transition. But what we found is players would go and they'd need a lifestyle that needed required six figures, and they'd go and play footy at a club where they didn't have any mates, they didn't really know anybody. They'd do that for a couple of years, and then the club would tap them on the shoulder and say, oh, you know, we can't keep paying you that, and that sales role we gave you, that's dried up as well. Mm. And all of a sudden, players are transitioning out 3 years later with less relevance, with they've started families, they've got mortgages, more responsibility. So we tried to get ahead of the game and put this sort of in place so players can separate their career and their football if they want to, or they can go to the AMOs and, you know, utilise that support network and, you know, in that aspect.
Because you can see that being a trap, in a way, that it's the easy cash grab, but you're still going to be where you are now in 2 years' time, where you're surviving in a sense. Whereas it is the harder decision to say, well, you know what, I'm going to play amateur football. I'm not going to get paid to play, but I'm going to get my career going. It's a great pathway, I reckon, but it's a harder pathway in a sense because you're not seeing that money you would be seeing if you're an AFL player.
Or I'd say on the alternative, if you are going to do that, know what you want to do and tell these guys, this is the job I want. So if you want me to come, this is what I'm looking for. Otherwise, I'm going to do other things. So I think, you know, through the camp and the career coaching, you say, okay, I'm clear on what I want to do rather than just, oh, I'm going to landscape for this guy for the next couple of years and just grab the cup. So I think you're right, Daniel. That's where the amateurs does play a better role in that as well.
Fish, is this generation more open to what you're trying to do? Are they more savvy about getting what we're trying to tell them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there's 41 or 42 players who have just transitioned off AFL lists here at this camp, and they don't need to be here. You know, the easy option is to go and, you know, take the good money playing local footy and doing that. But these guys are investing in themselves. You know, I look at the room yesterday, guys are sort of feverishly taking notes, and you see the expo that we'll run today with a number of careers, and the energy in the room, and these players, they're proactive, they're pretty keen to, you know, attack that next phase the same as they attack their footy career, and they're obviously successful to reach a top level.
Steve, you were talking before about anyone transitioning out of jobs and having that whatever that time is come to an end and dealing with that and moving forward. Most people would come to an end of a period and then end up in a similar period and similar position somewhere else. This is slightly different, is it not, that players are playing this game of AFL footy where it's, you know, it's high pressure, high intensity, high adulation, all the emotions and that come with that week to week. And then they hit sort of what we would call normal life.
Yeah.
How big a difference is that from transitioning from job to job in the normal life?
Well, I suppose the difficulty is for a lot of them, they don't know what the next step is. So you're absolutely right. If you're transitioning in from job to job, you're probably going to go and look for something similar.
Yep.
What we see is there is a lot of similarities, though, is there's that sense of identity that you lose. Everybody knows you as the CEO or the accountant or the, you know, the football player. So people are saying to you, what are you going to do next? What's your plan? And often they don't have an answer to that. At whatever level, and you'd be surprised how senior people, you know, often don't have that answer either in business. So really kind of trying to be able to unpack that and just in your own mind kind of have a bit of a plan moving forward. So I think there's a lot of similarities actually, because the process of change management, you know, you said that, you know, when they're cut from the club, they're all of a sudden out on their own and wondering, going, holy, you know, what's next for me and the wife's? What are you going to do? We've got the mortgage, all of those kind of things coming through. So that's the same for everyone. We all kind of have an income that we're trying to do. So I think it's really more about that change management. I think the players themselves know that, you know, their career comes to an end at a point and they're not going to be playing football. So to a certain extent, that doesn't impact them as much. It's about, what's my plan and what's next to do? Because I knew yesterday I turned up to the club and they told me to do this.
Yeah,
and this
that's
and
right.
This. And now this is unfamiliar territory for me. And how do I do it? So again, that's why I kind of, you know, we use a lot of analogies saying, whatever your sport, you've had a coach who's helped you be better at that. And this is really now that next phase where our expertise is, how do you make that transition and what's the right one? And all the players are at different levels. You know, some of them have got stuff going on that they might have offers coming on and they're just trying to figure out what's the best one for them. And you know, a big thing that the camp does here is, you know, around what's your values. And so we were talking to a couple of players yesterday just around, you know, they've got job offers but kind of helping them unpack which one aligns with their values and their goals best, and just kind of thinking through some of that. Some of them have got no idea what they're doing, kind of drew, and people saying, be a tradie, do this, do that, and they're just trying to figure that out. So it's not a lot of differences other than, you know, that they were athletes. And our role is, like, to be honest with you, we don't care you're an athlete. It's now, how do you take those transferable skills? You talk footy, businesses talk business. How do you make business understand, you know, classic examples, the leadership discussions that go on, and it's a big piece, and companies need leaders, but they watch football, they don't work in a football club, so they don't really understand how the leadership group works within that club. So you've got to help the player unpack it and talk to the company like it's a, you know, in a business format, so they get how that's going to add value. And so it's those kind of things that you know, regardless of where you work, you're trying to now convince somebody else that you're best person for their job.
How many former AFL players are here over these couple of days, Brad?
Yeah, so I think we've got about 41 or 42 attending the camp. We had a past player panel. We've had past player speakers. There's going to be a heap of past players involved in business now who sort of understand that athlete transition. So I think we figured out is we're going to be about 65 past players, you know, in the room over the 2 days, which is great.
And what's been happening in the previous couple of days? Because it's not just today that they've been here for a couple of days, I think the crew, haven't they?
Yeah, so we got them, the boys, in late on Sunday, and we just did a couple of past player panels on Sunday, just that lived experience from, you know, guys who'd had really healthy transitions to guys who might have struggled a little bit, had to relocate. You know, we heard from Raiden Tallis from Sports Ready, who's, you know, been around the industry for 25 years and involved in transitioning players for the last dozen or so, and then we just had a real good social night where we had a few beers. We had John Hastings, I think, who's one of your regulars.
Oh, the big
show.
Yeah. He'll do anything. Apart from drinking pots.
He did have a couple. he told some good stories.
Did he mention his cafe at all?
He did. South Franklin, they got a good plug. And some Pilates studio he's running.
Oh, he talked about that as well.
He was outstanding. Yeah, we just had a few beers that night and got to know each other. And yesterday was all about sort of career upskilling and you know, having a deeper look at yourself, your values, what you want to get out of life, and then hopefully, you know, they can put those sort of plans in place when they're moving forward.
Writing resume, Scotty, remember that? The first time you wrote a resume?
I never have.
You should have come along yesterday.
I actually have.
Give me a few tips.
I got a job straight from school, and I've never had to.
Straight through?
Yeah.
Look at you.
I know. I'm a rare case, Daniel.
A rare beast. Well, hopefully there's a few more people a bit more organised today here at the Transition Camp. It's great to have the support of the PA and companies like yours, Steve, with all that's going on here. We appreciate your time today. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, boys.
Brad Fisher from the AFLPA, Steve Shepherd, 2.0 career coaching firm, who are here to help those that are transitioning out of the game this season, the 41 or 42, as Fish said before, which we'll find out more about through the morning. Got a couple of those guys going to join us on the panel.